Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Twelve and 13 don't have a purport, so I'll read just the English. And we'll chant text 14. Prahlad Maharaj, the most dear servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, once went out touring the universe with some of his confidential associates just to study the nature of saintly persons. Thus he arrived at the bank of the Kaveri, where there was a mountain known as Sahya. There he found a great saintly person who was lying on the ground, covered with dirt and dust, but who was deeply spiritually advanced. So this sounds like a very extensive tour, a tour of the universe, it says. And in the synonyms, it says to all the different planets. And of course, the nature of the tour was to study the nature of saints, the nature of saintly persons and persons trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. I suppose if someone is retired and is in the more or less approaching the vanaprastha stage of life, he and his wife and their friends even might go to America from India to see the ISKCON temples. Some devotees plan like that. They visit the cities where there are ISKCON temples and they observe the nature of the devotees in the different centers. So something like that, Prahlad Maharaj was doing with his associates. And he arrived at the bank of the Kaveri River, where there was a mountain known as Sahya. And there he found a great saintly person, covered with dirt, lying on the ground. So the next verse raises the question, raises a question or two about the identity of this person. It was not clear who he was. So let's chant that verse. Karmana. Karmana kriti birvacha. Ningaya vanashrama divi. Navadanti janayambai sursaviti naveti cha. Translation and purport. Neither by that saintly person's activities, by his bodily features, by his words, nor by the symptoms of his varnashram status could people understand whether he was the same person they had known. The inhabitants of that particular place on the bank of the Kaveri, in the valley of the mountain known as Sahya, were unable to understand whether that saint was the same man they had known. It is, therefore, said, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vignena Bhujhaya. A highly advanced Vaishnava lives in such a way that no one can understand what he is or what he was. Nor should attempts be made to understand the past of a Vaishnava. without asking the saintly person about his previous life, Prahlad Maharaj immediately offered him respectful obeisances. Prahlad Maharaj is described as someone who is very, very dear to the personality of Godhead, his Bhagavat Priya. So he took an interest in other persons who are cultivating or awakening love of God. And on his tour, he found someone who was very spiritually advanced, but was covered with dirt and dust and lying on the ground. This reminds me of a godbrother of mine who was dressed in simple cloth in India. He gave up his turtleneck and his jeans and he traveled around India and he underwent changes as he traveled. He gave up internally so many attachments. And when he met the devotees, he felt a little out of place, although he was like them. He was a Westerner. But they were more neatly dressed and cleaner. He hadn't shaved for a long time. But Prabhupada, who is Bhagavad Priya, he's on the level of Prahlad Maharaj, he recognized this person, although he was a little dirty. His clothes were, from washing his clothes in the river, they weren't so white or sparkling, clean. And Prabhupada, with a smile and with a generous heart, welcomed this person, this godbrother, into the association of devotees. And he didn't inquire, just like Prahlad Maharaj didn't inquire so much about this person that he saw, but he just offered him respects. So it's mentioned here, you don't have to inquire about the background of a saintly person. But sometimes details about a person's life are known. He makes certain details known. In Back to Godhead magazine, we've published through the years articles about how devotees have come to Krishna. So Satsrup Maharaj once said, in summary, these articles say, I was in Maya and then I became a devotee. But they're different varieties of Maya. So these articles would describe that I was in this particular kind of Maya or that particular Maya. I remember when I was a new devotee in ISKCON, I was naturally curious about Srila Prabhupada and to some extent curious about his background. The biography of Prabhupada wasn't published until after his departure, so we didn't know so many details that are available now. But we did know that he had a pharmaceutical business, that he was a grihastha, that he met his spiritual master and then got married and started a family. So once when Srila Prabhupada was in America and I was at the temple where he was, I thought of him a little bit like he had been perhaps 30 years earlier, not in 1975, but maybe in 1945, as a grihastha with the business. I just in my mind imagined him as a younger devotee, trying to follow his spiritual master as a grihastha. And I thought of him as a businessman. I identified a little bit with the idea of a businessman because my father was a businessman. He used to rise early in the morning, 4 o'clock, he used to get up and he would go over to his place of business. He didn't meditate early in the morning except on what he saw as Kula Dharma. His Kula Dharma was providing for his family members. And at that time in America, you could make a lot of money. So he was enjoying this nice economic climate. He had a motto, another day, another dollar. Another day, another dollar. So he kind of lived for this. He liked this taste of money. It was easy to come by making income. And he had some feeling for God. Some idea that God exists. God provides for everyone. Anyway, my real father turned out to be my spiritual father, Srila Prabhupada. And here he's telling us about the activities, the behavior of a perfect person, Prahlad Maharaj, and also this other saint met by Prahlad Maharaj. And the theme of this story is that a Vaishnava is hard to understand. He doesn't reveal so much about himself. Prabhupada says in the purport, he lives in such a way that no one can understand what he is or what he was. He just goes about his service humbly. He glorifies Krishna. He does his service. And so if you ask what he is, the answer might not come so easily because he may not fit into a category that we know. Devotional service to Krishna is very confidential. To most people, Krishna is impartial. He interacts with most people as the super soul in an impartial way through the laws of karma and through the control of time. And only to those devotees who try to offer him something in love does he reciprocate in love in a more personal way as the Bhagavan. Otherwise he interacts as Paramatma. Here it's said that Prahlad Maharaj, or rather the local people who saw this saintly person lying on the ground, they couldn't understand if he was the same person that they used to know. His activities were just lying on the ground, apparently, and his bodily features, he was dirty and dusty. His words must have not been ordinary words. And the symptoms of his varnashram status were not really clear. So they thought, well, we used to know this person, but now we're not sure it's the same person. He's changed his behavior so much. So Prahlad Maharaj didn't bother to inquire very deeply about that person's past. And that's not appropriate either, according to Srila Prabhupada. He just offered him respects. So in order for us to understand this a little more, this theme of not being able to know the mind of a Vaishnava, let's look at a few examples in the Bhagavatam. We'll survey a little bit the Bhagavatam and see other examples of devotees or saints who are explained in this same way, that you can't really know their mind so easily. I compiled this survey by looking in the Vedabase and finding citations where Prabhupada said, quoted this verse, Vaishnavera, Kriya, Mudra Vigne, Nabuchaya. It's not so easy to know the mind of a Vaishnava. Chittaketu Maharaj was misunderstood by Parvati. This is an example. Parvati couldn't understand Chitraketu. She misunderstood his mind. She thought he was an offender to Lord Shiva because Chitraketu joked with Lord Shiva about his behavior with his wife, Uma. Uma was sitting on Shiva's lap, and Chitraketu made a joke, and then Parvati cursed him. So Shiva, in order to instruct his wife, he said, Chittaketu is a dear devotee. And what are his symptoms? He's equal to all. So that vision of being equal to all, we know how that is achieved. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Brahmani Gavani Gavi Hastani Suni Chayava Srupakecha Pandita Samadarshan. So the person who's equal to all, he's able to see the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart. That's the basis of his being equal to all. So that's a great achievement. And this is one of the characteristics of Chittaketu. He could do this. He saw everyone equally. So Shiva said to Parvati, he's equal to all, and he's free from attachment and hatred. And I'm also dear to Lord Narayan, Shiva continued. So one should not be astonished by our activities. He told Parvati, you shouldn't be astonished by the fact that he's made a joke with me. Actually, Shiva said, he and I are both liberated devotees. So liberated means that they don't maintain a bodily conception of life. They've come to a standard of behavior, a standard of advancement and insight, that they can act like a pure spirit soul. They can act according to their spiritual identity. They understand their eternal relationship with the Supreme. So that's the first example, Shiva instructing Parvati. He continued, he said, we're on the same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because we're his servants. We're acting in such a way to please him. We're not acting to please our senses. There's no way that our activities are just ordinary, based on ordinary desire or kama. But we're acting out of prema. So in this way, he tried to persuade Parvati, you were not very sensible to curse Chittaketu. This was not a sensible thing to do. You acted unwisely. You don't know the mind of the person, Chittaketu. You don't know his mind. Everybody seems awake. I don't see anybody with eyes closed. Shiva himself was also in this category, as described by the demigods. He was a person that whose mind could not be easily understood. The demigods, in the pastime of Shiva swallowing the poison when they turned the ocean, they offered prayers to Lord Shiva when he drank the poison. And they said, some people may not know all the austerities that you have done. And then when they see you with your wife, they think you're lusty. Or when they see you in the crematoriums, they think that you're some ferocious person who smears ashes on his body. The Nagababas who smoke ganj and smear ashes on their body, they're quite ferocious. I was reading in Radhanath Maharaj's autobiography about his encounter with the Nagababas. They had tridents and they even threatened him a little bit. But actually they were not so ferocious, Maharaj says. They were actually quite nice in their way, in their own way. So Lord Shiva sometimes is misunderstood because of his outward appearance. People misjudge his mind. Ambarish Maharaj was misunderstood by Durvas Muni. All he wanted to do was complete his fast to please the personality of Godhead. He wanted to just finish his fast. So he took a sip of water. And Durvas Muni misunderstood, huh? In such a way that he really wanted to punish him. So you can't understand the mind of a Vaishnava if you're just an ordinary yogi like Durvas. Two more examples that are similar, Narada Muni and Haridas Thakur, they both associated with women in their ashram where they lived. Narada Muni took home to his ashram, Kayadu, Prahlad Maharaj's mother, who was pregnant with him at that time. And he protected her from fear. She had no fear while she lived with him. And Prabhupada says at the same time there was no fear that Narada would be deviated in any way from his brahmacharya. He was above the material platform. So he could not be brought down to the material platform by keeping this pregnant woman in his ashram. And Haridas Thakur also, he had a prostitute in his ashram, but he was teaching her over the series of several nights. He was teaching her how to be a devotee. He was infiltrating. He was using a method of converting her to become a devotee by saying, you just wait and I'll enjoy sense gratification with you. Please just wait. Wait here and I'll finish my rounds and then we'll enjoy. So the prostitute was waiting and becoming purified by his chanting. So he brought her up to his level rather than going down to her level. So there's an injunction. Prabhupada mentions another injunction that's similar to the one we're studying, that you cannot really know the mind of a Vaishnava very easily. That injunction, the second injunction, is it's forbidden to think of the spiritual master as an ordinary person. Guru Su Nara Matihi. Don't have the opinion that your spiritual master is an ordinary person. I mean, he has two arms, he has two legs, he looks like an ordinary person. So we may think, he's like me. But no, he's become advanced because he's engaged his senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's become the more advanced person. Therefore, you accept him as your spiritual master. He's dedicated his words, his thoughts, his activities. He's overcome his false ego. He's not identifying. He's not misusing his intelligence to identify with the body. Okay, now we come to the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gauranga ke! He several times was misunderstood. His mind was misunderstood. He adopted the role of a Vaishnav sannyasi. But he actually was Krishna. But he wouldn't let people speak of him like that. He tried to cover that, his identity. He's called a hidden incarnation. But even when he was a child, he's described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami as someone who performed pastimes that I, Krishnadas Kaviraj, cannot understand. One example of this was when, as a child, Nimai ate betel nut. Betel nut was offered to Lord Vishnu and it acted as an intoxicant. And Nimai fell unconscious. Of course, that's an instruction to us, Srila Prabhupada said, that we should not eat betel nut, even if it's been offered to Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya's fainting had a purpose. I mean, he can do whatever he likes. He can eat whatever he likes. But we shouldn't imitate his pastimes. But the Lord had a purpose. He came to this world with a purpose. And sometimes he acted in a way that was difficult to understand. But it was favorable for executing his purpose. In this case, he had a dream of his brother. His brother had already accepted sannyas, and in this dream, his brother was bringing him out of the home to accept the sannyas order. And Nimai said to his brother, Vishwarup, but I have my father and mother, they're helpless. And I'm just a child. What do I know about sannyas? Later I will become a householder. And thus I'll serve my parents. And this will satisfy Lord Narayan and the Goddess of Fortune. So he woke up and he told his parents that he had this dream. And not long after that, his father left this world. He became a householder, but it wasn't long before he actually took sannyas. But Krishnadas Kaviraj says, I cannot understand why he performed this particular pastime. And Prabhupada comments that although the Lord himself or his devotees perform activities that are favorable for the purpose or the mission for which they've come, sometimes people don't understand and they criticize the pure devotees for doing something that's favorable to their mission, but they don't understand that mission well enough. One example, Prabhupada admitted into his ashram ladies. He started the Brahmacharini ashram. The previous preachers in the West, the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati who went to Germany and England, they were strict. They didn't let the ladies live with the men. The ashram was segregated. But Prabhupada had the insight, you could say Krishna gave him the insight to do this. Because Prabhupada often quotes this verse, that tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. For someone who's serving me with devotion, I give them the understanding by which to serve me and come to me. And Prabhupada said in one letter that my society for Krishna consciousness was successful because I let the ladies join. But some persons criticized. In India, some people, more conservative people, they criticized that, among other things. There were other criticisms. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he was criticized. He was chanting Gopi. Gopi. And one student said, why? Why don't you chant Krishna, Krishna? At least that's a pious activity. You know it's a pious activity to chant Krishna, Krishna. So that was good in one sense. He knew that there was some value in chanting. But Prabhupada said actually his attitude was offensive, because we shouldn't think of chanting as an ordinary ritualistic activity offered in the Vedas as fruit of activity. But anyway, this student was innocent and he asked Lord Chaitanya, why? Why chant Gopi, Gopi? And Lord Chaitanya became angry. This student could not understand the mind of Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also, he admitted that he could not understand the mind of Ramananda Roy, because he was a jnani, he was absorbed in Vedanta. So he used to speak with Ramananda Roy, and he could not realize the transcendental speciality of Ramananda Roy's activities and words. So Sarvabhauma just made fun of him sometimes. Can you imagine making fun of Ramananda Roy? So Sarvabhauma did this. He was a jnani, a mental speculator, and he would cut jokes with the Vaishnavas. But the Vaishnavas were above his ordinary understanding because they were engaged according to the injunctions of the Lord. Just take the name Chaitanya. Chaitanya means spiritual force. So if someone is serving Lord Chaitanya and his mission, he's engaged with a spiritual force. And that's not easily understood. This spiritual force brings the devotees and the Lord very much together. Krishna says when someone renders service out of love for me, then they live in me and I live in them. They become dear to me and I become dear to them. So this kind of love was exhibited by Lord Chaitanya himself. And it's actually the fruit of the devotional creeper. Everybody, all of us, we're cultivating our devotional creeper, and the fruit is to taste that love. So a neophyte devotee may not realize this, and certainly a materialist will not realize this. This love is in the heart of advanced devotees. This love awakens in his heart. And then his words and activities are performed and enacted out of this love. But that's not so easy to understand. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for a wonderful class, Prabhuji. I want to ask, you know, what you said is correct. Like, at times we can't understand the other devotees, what is there in the other devotees' mind, you know. They say certain things which are beyond our conception, beyond our understanding. So what should we do in that kind of situation?
I have to ask you to speak slower and repeat your question, please.
Okay. See, the thing is, at times, you know, the other devotees, they say the things which are beyond our understanding. So what should we do in that kind of situation?
Sometimes devotees say something that we don't understand on the level that we're on. We don't get it. So what should we do? Well, you can be patient and ask some questions about it, and put it on hold, and say, "Well, I don't understand right now, but I'm thinking about it, and maybe I'll do some extra reading on this topic, or I'll ask some more questions about it from the devotee who mentioned it." When it comes to really big topics, this is what the devotees did. When Srila Prabhupada spoke about the structure of the cosmos, when he was translating the fifth canto, he asked his scientist devotees to study it. And that took them years. They came up with explanations even 20 years after Prabhupada wrote those chapters about the cosmos. Sariputta Prabhu was studying the concepts in the fifth canto for many years. Sometimes devotees say things that we don't understand, but I mean that in another way. We don't understand why they say that. Why did they say that? That's not the right thing to say. You know, we might develop some sophistication and think, well, I know a little more about this than they do, and I don't understand why they adopt this attitude or why they adopt this point of view. That's another kind of aspect of the question that you raised. Is that okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. No other comments? All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.